If you've got your Bibles, you want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. And we've been going through this series called Set Apart, that there is something different about us as men and women of God, that we are not like the world. And this morning, I want to challenge you that not only are we set apart as individuals, but certainly we should be set apart as couples, as married folk, if you will. We ought to be different. And I want to ask you, how does your home, how does your married life, how does that look different than the rest of the world? Because not only are you a stranger, remember, as we've been going through 1 Peter, he says we are elect exiles. We have been chosen, and we're foreigners here. We're refugees in this world. Not only are you a stranger in this land, but let me just put it how we would say it in the South. Y'all are strangers in this land. You as a family, you as a couple, you're a stranger here. When we begin to look at what that means in the church, what it means in the country we live. And I'm going to tell you that today I'm about to preach on 7 verses that are not going to come off as very popular in our world, because we're going to begin looking at wives, be submissive to your husbands. There's no doubt in our current world the idea of telling a wife to be submissive, it's not a popular topic. We live in an age where anything but equality is simply not tolerated. In many cases, it's ridiculed. How dare you say anything other than we are equal? And I will tell you that part of this is the equality between husband and wife. But I'll tell you that I read stories all the time about lack of equality in pay between men and women. Lack of numerical equality when it comes to various careers. There aren't as many women as men in this particular field of study or career. Lack of expectational equality. After all, women can do everything that men can do, so certainly there should be equality everywhere. And you might think I'm stretching here, but the exact equality of men and women leads to, or at least attempts to erase, strengths that men and women have. When we say, oh, we're just all the same, because I got news for you, as men and women, we are not the same. I expected some amens right there. We are not. I'm not here to talk about whether or not each one of those reports is correct or not. I'm not here because I'll tell you, you go and read, and some reports will say this, and other reports will say that, and I'm not here to do that this morning. But what I am here to tell you is that submission requires, if you're going to talk about one person submitting to another, it requires that one is the authority and the other submits to that authority. And you may go, well, why does it require it? Because the very definition of submission is that. Let me read to you what Merriam-Webster defines submission is the action or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or the will or authority of another person. So that is required in submission. So last week we started talking about submission to a government and submission to an employer. So at this point we were talking about an emperor and a master, a slave, or bond servant to a master. So we looked at submission for God's glory. He says in there that we are to be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. And remember, Paul reiterates this in Romans chapter 13, that we ought to be submissive to the government. That we, instead of bondservant to master, I would say in some ways we would apply that as employer to employee. We ought to do that for the sake of the Lord. Be subject for the Lord's sake. It speaks volumes about where our trust lies when we are submissive to other people. We're not just dependent on our own abilities to control things, but we trust that the Lord has put presidents and emperors in place. We trust that the Lord has put employers in place, and we are to be submissive to them. We're also to be submissive for the sake of the beauty of the bride. Put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. That's what Scripture says. People look to us, the church. We represent the Lord. We're the visible representation of the Lord. And he says, look, put to silence the foolish talk. And one of the ways we do that is we are submissive. But we're also submissive in the midst of injustice. Scripture says, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example so that you would follow in his steps." Christ suffered injustice. Amen? You know, I shared with you, I'd read the meme, you know, good people suffer? Why does God allow suffering for good people? And I reminded you, there was only one good person, and he suffered willingly. Anything that we endure is less than what we really deserve. I deserve eternity in hell. And any little bit of suffering that I do here, it is less. It is less than what I really deserve. And so he says, look, as Christ suffered, you suffer too. We are called to suffer. But now we get into what is even more intimate, the marriage relationship. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to read together 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Would you please stand as we honor God's word? Let me read with you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, so he's already talked about submitting to the government, submitting to masters, and he says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respect and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of the gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you in the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Would you please be seated? So let's be clear. There are those outside the church and even inside the church that will bristle at this passage. They don't like that. And I want you to know that I am not a pastor that sits in a cocoon and only reads this and says, I don't know what's going on out there. I do know what's going on out there. And I'm telling you, even right now, as our kids go to camp on Monday, the Southern Baptist Convention will be meeting. And they're dealing with, this was an article I read just the other day, the Me Too movement goes to church. Southern Baptists face a reckoning over the treatment of women. And I'm not going to get into that entire article. And there are some things that Southern Baptists, along with men all over the world, are going to have to deal with the fact that we haven't treated women the way that we should have treated women. But I also want you to know that there are those who will use this movement in order to create an opportunity to present another topic, another way of thinking that I do not agree with. In this article, this is one of the paragraphs, such episodes aren't a surprise to women who have recounted their own experiences in the Southern Baptist Convention, which declares that they must submit to their husband and doesn't allow them to be pastors or to teach men in any official capacities. I want you to know, as I talk to you today, as I preach to you about submission to your husband, that is not the Southern Baptist Convention declaring that. That is God's Word declaring that. I don't have the right to go, you know what? Culturally, this will cause people to be uncomfortable, so I'm just going to skip this passage today. That's not what I'm called to do as a pastor. I'm called to preach God's Word. And this is true for all people, for all places, for all times. So why would we say, wives, why would we preach? Why would God say, wives, submit to your husband? Number one, wife, submit to your husband, but he tells you why. And let me be clear about this. This is not your natural response, ladies. Wives, this is not your natural response. Your natural response is something like this. He's not the boss of me. I'm an independent, strong woman. I don't need to be submissive to him. Give me a break, Paul. And I want you to know what submissiveness is not talking about. It doesn't mean that Christ isn't your Lord and he is your Lord. Christ is your Lord. He is writing to Christian women. He is writing to women who believe in Christ Jesus. That's your Lord. But that doesn't mean that you don't submit to your husband. If your husband says, by the way, I don't want you to follow Christ, I don't want you to make him Lord, your submission to the Lord supersedes your submission to your husband. It also doesn't mean that you are a yes woman. I know we have the term a yes man. Just because you're submissive to him doesn't mean that you're a yes man. It doesn't mean that whatever he says, you go, oh yeah, whatever, okay, okay, okay. There are times when you are going to disagree with your husband and you're going, tell me something I don't know. But I'll remind you that you're still supposed to be submissive, even when you disagree. It doesn't mean that being submissive doesn't mean that you don't have a different viewpoint, and it doesn't mean that you don't ever present that viewpoint. You do, because you're a team. But you are to be submissive to him. It doesn't mean that you're left without recourse. It doesn't mean that if he is an adulterer, it doesn't mean that if he abandons you physically by abusing you or verbally abusing you, it doesn't mean that you don't have any recourse. It doesn't mean that you're stuck there no matter what. That is not what God's word says, and that is not what being submissive means. But what it does mean is that this is written to Christian woman, and it says, look, be submissive, that they may be one without a word by the conduct of their wives. Wives, look right here just for a minute. I want you to know something. There are men in heaven today rejoicing with the Lord, singing praises to him. They are not in hell because of the conduct of their wives led them to the Lord. Some of them have been won. They have been won to the Lord because their wives were submissive and they had the conduct of a submissive wife. By the way, there's no out on this just because you go, I'm not really happy in my marriage. It doesn't say, well, if you're unhappy, then you don't have to worry about this. It says this, you be submissive. And matter of fact, let's read this again. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey. What he's talking about is they may not be Christian men. Wives, your faith will not save them, but it may lead them to faith. And husbands, listen to me. Just because she goes to church and she takes the children to church and she talks about the Lord with their children, her faith will not save you. It is your faith in Christ. That's how you're saved. But wives, being married to an unbeliever is not your way out. You can't go, well, you know, Pastor, I've waited. I mean, I love the Lord and I thought he would come around, but he didn't, so I'm done. He doesn't give you a way out because of that. Because I got two things for you. Number one, if you married him and he wasn't a believer and you were, you shouldn't have married him. The Lord is clear about that. You are not to be yoked with him. But now that you are, you're in a covenant relationship with him. And you don't get to just say, well, I'm out because he's not doing what I want him to do. He doesn't take me to church, Pastor. He doesn't pray with me, Pastor. He doesn't sit down with the kids and talk about the Lord, Pastor. So I'm done. He does not give you a way out because of that. What he says is you be submissive and let your conduct be pure. And you might, there's no guarantees there, you might lead him to the Lord. Well, Pastor, I wasn't saved when I married him and he was an unbeliever. We were both unbelievers and now that I'm saved, now that should give me a way out. No. It's written to those who have husbands. It's written to Christian women, no matter which situation you're in. He might be saved, he may not be saved, but you don't get to get out just because he does or does not have a relationship with the Lord. I've got news for you. Wives, if your husband doesn't know the Lord, I don't necessarily want to talk to you about the foreign mission field. You have a very local mission field, and that's your husband. So how do you lead him? Why do you lead him? For his salvation. And how do you lead him? With actions, not words. I wrote in my notes, don't hound him. Honor him. If you nag him to death and tell him how he never goes to church with you, how he doesn't pray before dinner, how he doesn't tell the kids Bible studies, how he doesn't even seem interested in that part of your life, by the way, right, he's lost. He's not going to be interested in your faith. He's lost. He's dead. But if you hound him, if you nag him, you're only going to drive him further away. You can't do that. That they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. So what does that mean? How do you do that? You realize, ladies, if you are with an unbeliever, if you're married to a man who doesn't know the Lord, he might just think you're going through a phase. And I remember my mom when I was growing up, man, she was in her cross-stitch phase. You know what cross-stitching is? Man, everything is cross-stitch. Everything. We'd get gifts for Christmas. Great, cross-stitch. I wanted a video game. I got a cross-stitch. I did get video games, by the way. But she went through her ceramic stage. Everything was ceramics. And she was good at it. I mean, she did ceramics. She had different phases. And by the way, I'm not picking up men. We do it too. But maybe he just thinks you're in a phase. You show him by the consistent conduct of your life, this isn't a phase. Christ is your Lord from here through eternity. So how do you do that? Number one, go to church. Make it a part of your life. Attend church. Give your time. Give your talents. It may be that you need to talk to your husband and say, you know what? I want to take part of my money, part of our money, and give to my church. He may say, you're not doing that. By the way, submissiveness. Let him see that God's word is important in your life. Reading, studying, attending Bible study. Let him see that you impart truth to your children. Does he ever see you pray? I mean, think about it. What if you were to tell your husband this? Hey, I just want you to know, dear. When you're at work, I do think about you. And how can I pray for you while you're at work? And you may go, you know, I don't believe in prayer. I know, but I do. So while you're at work today, how can I pray for you? Humor me. Just tell me something. Do you have a big meeting today? Let me pray for that. So while you're, what time is your meeting? Oh, it's at 3 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, I'm going to be praying for you. You haven't said, let's sit down and pray about that meeting. You're just going, let me pray for you. Be holy. Be set apart. Don't be like all the other women. Be different. Be set apart. Well, how do you do that? He tells you. Beautiful heart for the Lord. He says, look, clearly there's something that's going on that was true back then that's also still true today, and that is we are obsessed with how the outside looks. There is without a doubt a massive similarity between Roman time and now, and that is we are all about adorning the outside. Now hear me on this. Don't take that to the other extreme and say, oh, that means I can just get up out of bed and go along my deck. Please put yourself together. You want that of me, trust me. I've seen myself in the morning. It's not a pretty sight. Put yourself together. But may I suggest that you think of this? And let me talk to the wives first. When you look at the time spent shopping for clothes, makeup, hair products, jewelry, fitness, diet, keeping up with fashion, then add up the time that you spend doing your makeup, fixing your hair, putting that ensemble together. Y'all impressed I knew about ensemble. I got that word. Putting that all together. When and where are you adorning your heart? You give all of that time to taking care of the outside. All of that time because you're going to present that. Be different than those wives out there. Adorn your heart. How do I do that? We just talked about it. Church, Bible study, prayer, time with the Lord. Is any time spent with the Lord? When are you taking any part of your life, going before the Lord and saying, this is messed up. I need help here, Lord. I'm messed up. Help. How can I be more Christ-like in the way that I live? When are you doing any of that and yet all this time adorning the outside? Where are you adorning the inside? Well, I've heard this. I'm not a reader, Paul. I've tried to read the Bible and it just doesn't interest me. And yet you are a reader because I hear, you know, Pinterest is not going down because you don't read. Y'all are always reading new and little things. I mean, articles. It is amazing how many people that you can tell me about the latest trends, what's going on, what's happening in the world, which star just sang that song, and who got married to who, and who just divorced who, and who just committed suicide, and who's standing up for this, and who's not standing up for that, and how did you get all that? It's not because you heard it all. You've been reading it. Very interested in those things. Where is your interest in the Lord? So wives, how are you adorning your inside? And by the way, teenagers, teenage girls, I'm talking to you. Get in that habit now. But men, I'm not leaving you out either. Because you know one of the reasons that our wives spend so much time adorning themselves? Because for most of us, we do bear the burden that that's what we see. And we're not even concerned about their hearts, just as long as they look good on our arm. That's what we're concerned about. Does she match up to the latest images that are all over the internet? Is she wearing, does she look as good as them? I got news for you, men. I'm almost 50 and I don't look the same that I did when I was 20. And by the way, neither does your wife. But what about her insides? How does she look? And listen to me, men. Listen to me. Husbands, men. Not only what are we thinking and talking to our wives about, what are we communicating to our sons and our daughters? When we're watching TV and this girl comes up on the screen and she's got a bikini on, you're going, hey, look at that. What are you communicating? That is the beauty that's supposed to be desired rather than adorning the heart. What are we teaching our daughters? Because by the way, they see us looking at those images on the TV screen as well. And fathers, they're taking their cues from you. Well, if that's what my dad thinks is admirable and beautiful, then that's what the men out there think, and that's what I want to get. No, 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 no. I want my daughter to find someone who's concerned about what's inside her, who she is as a woman of God. Adorn the inside. Scripture tells us that holy women, they adorn their heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Wives, are you confrontational or would gentle and quiet describe you? That is precious in God's sight. They submitted to their own husband as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Man, when you look at the life of Sarah, man, Abraham was listening to the Lord, and when Abraham said, we're leaving, we're going, we're doing this, Sarah was following. By the way, you know Sarah did confront Abraham. You know she had a problem with Ishmael, and she confronted Abraham, and Abraham, guess what? And we're going to get to that, was understanding and listened to his wife, but she submitted to him. So, wives, if you're going right now, I feel kind of beat up. Husbands, it's your turn. It's your turn. But I don't want you to feel beat up. I want you to feel encouraged that this is how we ought to live. This is how the Lord tells us we ought to be. So husbands, and hopefully this is going to work, honor your wife. Look what he says there. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor. Showing honor. I want you to understand that back in the Greco-Roman world, wives were really considered as the one who kept up the house and took care of the kids. And the whole idea, this, you know, it's amazing when we go back and do movies back in that time, we actually show marriages the way that we picture them in the West in this day and age, and yet that's not the way marriages necessarily were. The wives were to take care of the home, take care of the children, and they were second-class citizens. And what Peter is saying, man, live with them. Live with them in an understanding way. In other words, it's not good enough that they take care of your home and take care of your kids. You have a relationship with them. You have understanding with them. You live with them. You honor them. So I want you to know, when people go, oh yeah, here we go, it's that old Bible stuff, wives submit to your husbands. In this context, it was unusual for a writer to even address women or children because they were second-class citizens. And yet, in God's word, he's going, man, not only am I going to address them, and I'm going to say, women, this is the way you ought to treat your husbands. I'm going to talk to them. I want them to know, because they're important, that I want them to know how they ought to live. But then I'm going to turn around and say, husbands, this is the way you ought to treat them. And the way they're currently being treated in that culture, was it good enough? So do this. Same thing today. Understand her and honor her. Why do we do that? Well, he tells us that. And this is not, there we go. She's an heir with you. That's why. She's an heir with you. It tells us that just like the wives, Peter is writing to the husbands who were believers, and she is an heir with you in the kingdom to come. She's an equal with you. What? I thought she said she was supposed to be submissive. She is. She is supposed to be submissive to the authority of the husband. But at the same time, he's going, she's equal. She's an heir. Show her some respect. By the way, both of us, both you and your wife, wives, both you and your husband, you are weak people full of sin in a world that you don't even belong. I find it amazing that, you know, when you talk about being understanding her and living with her and honoring her, you realize we're strangers in this world. Why would you want to alienate the one relationship that you can have intimacy with because you're strangers? I mean, why would you go, you know what, I don't belong in that world, and man, I'm not even going to belong in my own home. Hold on to that relationship. And he tells you why, so that your prayers will not be hindered. By the way, your prayers, that's not just for the husband. That is plural. That's so that you, husband and wife, your prayers will not be hindered. You know, it's amazing, and y'all may laugh at this, but let me just ask a question, actually. How many of you have been in a disagreement, I'll just leave it like that, with your spouse? And man, y'all are heavy into that disagreement. And you're going, I don't know what disagreement you're talking about. I've been in a fight. Been in a fight, disagreement. Man, you're angry at her. She's angry at you. And then it comes dinner time, and you've got to sit down and pray. Tell me how that prayer feels. Because you just got finished going, let me tell you something. Oh, we got to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. It's just weird. And you're doing it, but it feels awkward. You can't mess up this relationship with your spouse and think that this relationship's going to just be cool. Wives, you can't say, I'm not going to be submissive. I'm my own person. I'm going to do my own thing and think that you and God are still going to be cool. Because you're living in rebellion to God's word, and in essence, you're living in rebellion to God. And husbands, you can't say, you know what? I'm not going to understand her. I'm not going to honor her, but I'm still going to have this relationship. This is going to be cool. Because here's the deal. You can't mess up this relationship and think this one's going to be good, and you can't mess up this relationship and think this one's going to be good. You can't do that. You can't dishonor her, and you can't say, I'm not going to be submissive, and then go to the Lord and say, now, you know, Lord, I want to live in your will. Because I got news for you. That one of the first things the Lord may say is, well, let me tell you something. You want to live in my will? Then you honor her. Let me tell you something. You want to live in my will? Then you be submissive to him. And by the way, when you get into this whole Me Too movement, and I'm not discrediting any of that, you realize that the passage is, wives, be subject to your own husband. Not to every man, to your own husband. The one that you ought to trust. The one that you love. That's the one. And how? How are you to do it? And we've already talked on it. Be understanding. I've heard men say this, and men, please don't act like I'm the only one who's heard this. It's the things of jokes, and joking is fun. You ought to do that. There are stereotypes that we joke about, and there's jokes about women that are stereotypes. There's jokes about men that are stereotypes. And if you think those aren't funny, then tell me why you laugh at some of the same things that... I mean, it doesn't matter what sitcom, there are stereotypes about men, and we all chuckle about it, and it's okay. I can't do that because it just made men look stupid. Or I can't do that because it made women look stupid. It's okay to joke. But I have heard men say, and I think it's a manly thing to say, I just don't understand women. I just don't understand women. You're not called to understand women. You're called to understand her. I've heard it said like this. It says, husbands are to be scientists with a very narrow field of study, their wife. We're to be scientists. We're to study our wives. Man, what makes them happy? What brings joy to their life? What gets them up in the morning with a smile on their face? What is it that keeps them going through the day when, because by the way, they're facing things just like we are. They may be in the work world just like you are. And if they're not in the work world, they're facing a whole other set of problems that we're not having to face because they're taking care of those things so we can be in the work world. What is it that makes them excited that you're coming home? She has needs and wants and desires that you don't have, and that's okay. It doesn't mean that those things are ridiculous. She is different than you. And you're different than her. She is the weaker vessel. And again, don't be offended by that. Because for the most part, and he's talking about physical capability here, women usually are weaker than their husbands. So husbands, look right here. Look right here. Be the hero. She wants you to be the hero. Be it. When she can't open the jar of mayonnaise, don't make fun of her. Go, I got this. Even if you got to go, I got to take it to the garage for a minute. Be the hero. Man, there's much to say about how wives ought to treat their husbands. About husbands, how we ought to treat our wives. Ultimately, this is about living in accord with what the Lord has called us to be as husbands and wives. Andrea kind of joked with me. She goes, wow, so you tell the church we're getting married and then you talk about being submissive. Way to go, Paul. Well played. But I'm also talking about the way I need to treat you. You realize that Satan is not cheering for your marriage. He wants to destroy it. And if there's any people who have seen the success of Satan at times, it should be the people of this church. Don't let him have success in your marriage. Wives, be submissive to your husband, even when you don't agree. Even when they're not the best husband, so that you may win them to the Lord. Wives, look right here. If they don't know the Lord, their future is an eternity in hell. And you might be the one that the Lord has put them in their life to live in such a way that they would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I've heard many testimonies about that. And wives, hear me on this. I know if you are in an unhappy marriage right now, I know that doesn't make tomorrow easier. Again, I remember many dark days, and Joel's wise words to me was, it will get better, Paul, but not tomorrow. And I know just me preaching this doesn't mean that you go home and say, oh, my whole situation has turned around. It may mean that tomorrow is another tough day to be submissive. And husbands, let me end with this. You may be sitting here and saying, you know what? I love the Lord, but I haven't been living this way. I want you to know, today is the day that you change that. And you begin to honor her and understand her. And maybe you're going, I don't believe in all this Lord stuff. I don't believe in the Bible. And I just want you to know. And this is the best thing for your marriage, period. And my hope this morning is that you would come to know the Lord. And you think about, if you're going, I'm not going to honor her, I'm not going to understand her, you think about, this is the one that you said that you loved. Why would you be that way to someone that you proclaimed that you loved her, that you married her? I think in many ways this passage, and I'll end with this, this passage is just like last week's. It's a very easy passage to understand, to read it and go, oh yeah, there's not any deep Greek words here that I've got to go, oh man, I've got to pull that out so you can understand. Man, it's application. That's the tough part of this passage. Wives, it's going home maybe today going, you know what, I've been fighting you on this issue, and I need to be submissive. It doesn't mean he's always going to be right, but I need to be submissive because I love the Lord, and that's what the Lord is telling me to do. And it may mean today, husbands, you need to go home and say, you know what? I haven't been trying to understand your viewpoint on this. I haven't been trying to hear your cares and your concerns on this, and that's wrong of me, and I need to do that. So my prayer for us is, as parents, as husbands and wives, is that the Lord will mold us into the people that we ought to be as husbands and wives. Amen? And please hear me on this. I know that this isn't talking about children, but they are taking their cues from us. Is your marriage the one that you want your son to have? Is your marriage the one that you want your daughter to have? Because they're watching you. They're watching you, adults. So I'm going to have a word of prayer. And maybe this morning, maybe you don't need to come down individually. Maybe you need to grab your spouse and say, I'm just going to come pray before the Lord. Or maybe you want to come to this front row and say, I just want to be with my spouse, and we're going to pray about this. Because we're coming together, and our prayers are not going to be hindered any longer. We're coming together to talk about, wives, I want to be submissive to my husband. And husbands, I want to be understanding and honoring my wife. But if you do want to come individually, I'm here to pray with you. I'm here to receive you. What is the Lord laying on your heart this morning? What is He telling you to do? How do you respond to this passage? I'm going to lead us in prayer. Andy's going to come up and lead us in song. But the invitation, what we're saying is, we are inviting you to respond to the Lord this morning. So I'm going to pray. Husbands and wives, I'm asking you to respond, for you to do what the Lord is telling you to do. What would He have you do? Let's pray.